The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, the round post round two edition, Kerr's Hire style. Thanks to Kerr's Hire for sponsoring the podcast. It's been a long time sponsorship and no doubt a fruitful one for Jared and then Gary and the team at Kerr's Hire. So I got their names right, King, which is absolutely fantastic. Now, we appreciate their support of the podcast. We didn't particularly appreciate the Cats' effort on Saturday night, particularly in the first 2.5 quarters, Kingy. They were diabolical. And a very good reminder, Kingy, of why don't you don't base too much off round one.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't base too much off round two, other than there are some concerns for the Cats. And we spoke about it last week, even off the back of their good win over Freo. I said the gap between their best and their worst with their pressure is enormous.
Yep.
And we saw that in the first 2 and a bit quarters Saturday night. Their pressure was absolutely non-existent. And it really lifted in the last quarter. No surprise they dominated the last quarter. But there are some issues that we'll talk about throughout this podcast that have sort of unveiled themselves, and they're probably themes of previous years. And we've played 8 quarters. Biggest one for me, Kingy, 8 quarters. In 3 of them, they've been completely unable to stop the opposition's momentum.
Mm.
They've had their pants pulled down.
Yep.
Dockers in third quarter, and then in the first half on Saturday night, they had absolutely no way of shutting down the opposition, who just kicked goal after goal. And you've got St Kilda doing that. The other thing that, you know, was disappointing in that St Kilda are always going to come out firing, weren't they?
Yep. Yeah, after what happened in Adelaide the week before.
They were horrible the week before. They were always going to come out with a bit of spirit. Ross Lyon would have them wound up. Yeah, they were missing some key players, but they were always going to come out with a punch. Geelong didn't absorb any of the punches. Mm. They just allowed them to whack away, sort of Buster Douglas on Mike Tyson sort of style. And you know what happened there? Buster won.
Yeah.
He punched the crap out of him. Mm. And Mike Tyson wasn't ready for it. Cats weren't ready for it on Saturday night, and they got their pants pulled down.
You knew early that there was something. I know they got back to within 7 points and potentially could have pinched the game if the Brad
they
Close
didn't deserve
one
to.
Had it been a goal. Correct. But when Jack Sinclair's kicking goals out of his backside,
yep.
you just knew early.
I think sometimes you allow that luck to happen.
Mm.
If you allow the opposition enough chances,
they'll take it.
They will. And Geelong just allowed them way too many chances for a team that was... I mean, the forward line was completely undermanned for St Kilda.
Mm.
And they kicked 10 goals and a half. They'll struggle to kick 10 goals and a half again this year.
Yep.
I guarantee you. And they were just, in the end, they deserved to win St Kilda. Geelong didn't. They lifted Geelong's tackles in the last quarter. Their tackle count was way up on what it was the first half. It was not exact. They allowed the midfield to dominate. McRae had it on a string. Zach Jones was playing like Greg Williams. Who else is there? There's one other midfielder too that just kept getting the ball all the time. They had a raft of old Marshall in the ruck.
Yep.
I mean, that's why I was so reticent to be sort of lauding Sam De Koning after round one, because he got absolutely pizzled by Marshall, yep. unfortunately.
And when pizzled. And when Blitzars went into the ruck, that's actually when Geelong.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, going forward, Geelong, I know what the Geelong will do. They'll keep playing Sam De Koning in the ruck, and against good ruckman, he is going to get hammered.
I would think that Blitzarves is the better option against McInerney on Saturday night.
Yeah, but it'll be really interesting to see at the opening bounce, or for a majority of that game, who's playing in the ruck.
It's interesting. Reece Stanley's name got put up by the coach today.
He put him up.
Yep.
Which means he's in.
Yep. So we were talking about Mitch Duncan being, if Stewart didn't play... Now, just to update people, Chris Scott's words, and this is verbatim, we expect them to play, talking about Stewart and Smith. You would think if Stewart doesn't, Mitch Duncan looms as... And the thing that'll help Mitch Duncan, it's going to be played on a wet track. So Mitch's lack of leg speed, possibly...
Is it going to be moist up there, is it?
Anywhere between 24 and 105 mil will fall over the next 48 hours.
Right. What about Saturday night during the game?
Well, Saturday, there could be up to 70 mil of rain in Brisbane on Saturday.
So it's going to be, there'll be a downgrade of the track.
It will be.
A heavy tent.
It will be. Well, if you can go any further, it would be that.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, that changed the dynamic a little bit.
Yes. So that's why it interests me that they say expect Stewart to play. I would have thought with a 6-day break into Melbourne, then a 6-day break into the Crows, for Gather Round that they may go, well, do you know what? Round three.
Well, they might still do that.
Yeah. He'll go to Stuart will go to Brisbane, but as much as they're saying we expect them to play.
And Bailey Smith's the other one.
Smith will play.
He'll play.
Yeah, I got to watch a little bit of training this morning. Smith was part of the main drills. Stuart was off doing agility stuff to the side, just testing it all out.
Right.
And so I suspect it'll be a case of test it out, see how
just you just a soleus calf muscle, wasn't it? Is that what he did?
I think
that's what he did, King.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who, Smith or Stuart?
No, Stuart did a very, very minor PCL.
Yep.
And he was always like, I think he will play.
Yep.
It's very minor. And Smith did, I think, soleus in your calf?
Yes.
So the lesser of the two calf evils is soleus. It's more of a injury king. Yeah, look, this is Dr. Casanelia here. I've got a stethoscope on and nothing else. That's how we like our doctors to be.
Right.
Or the nurses, perhaps, Kingy.
Benny.
No, hang on. He was a good chance to play, but it's one of those calf injuries, I think, that it creeps up on you. When you sort of get out of bed too quick, or you might be chasing someone down the hallway, and you just feel it ping.
Grabs.
It wasn't one of those. It was one that just maybe creeps up over time.
Yep.
But it can be a problem if you don't nip it in the bud. Yep. But I'm led to believe that it was quite minor, and he'll be playing on Saturday night.
Early.
Yes.
So back to Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan and Stanley have been put in this same little bracket where they're...
As old and over the hill
and
just about done and break in case of emergency.
Correct.
Can we put anything else in there?
Used sparingly was the phrase that Chris Scott used. But the fact that
Something else, Kingy. But it's attached to your setup.
But the fact that he raised Reece Stanley's name with Mitch Duncan, I don't know what that means. He has been an emergency.
Means he's playing. If he's brought his name up just out of nowhere. I mean, he didn't say John Mossop, did he? Rod Blake.
Der Flanagan.
Yeah. Jeff Ferring.
Ramsey
Bogdanovic. He didn't bring him up. He brought up Reece Stanley, who's been walking around in the twos, literally, like walking around with the interest levels.
He's very engaged. I'd be engaged too if I was still getting 150 to 200,000.
I saw him in that practice match. He and Todd Goldstein just walked around, just talked the whole time. They weren't exactly sort of up and about it. But look, that means he's playing, and that gives you an idea of how.
No, I don't think it means he's playing. It's just it's interesting. His name was brought up.
Possibly, yeah.
Well, he's in the squad, so...
Well, so they're 2 rounds into the year. This is my point. They're 2 rounds into the year, and they've got just shit show in the ruck. An absolute shit show.
Yeah.
Which is frightening.
Which is what Geelong's had for the last 14
years. We've got our trying to make our best defender a ruckman, which got our ruckman who's... I mean, look, we heard in the call on Saturday night, Zach Tui calling for Mark Blitzhoff to go in the ruck.
Yeah.
Which clearly, if that's the sentiment from Zach Tui, I guarantee you it is a sentiment from the playing group that they feel that when Mark Blitzhalves is in the ruck, it gives them the edge to win or the chance to win, a better chance to win.
More confidence.
Yes. And when he went into the ruck, they did look better.
He jumped all over Marshall.
But Marshall had it like 27 times, I think, or 26 times.
29, Benny.
29 for a ruckman. That's just outrageous. But I feel for Sam De Koning. He isn't a ruckman. He doesn't seemingly like the ruck. He has no idea how to play in the ruck. And he's just like a 233-centimetre on-baller. I mean, you're better to have Blitzars in there who at least has some sort of ruck craft. He's more physical. I know he's not the most physical player of all time, Blitzars, but he's certainly more physical than De Koning. And it's a concern, Kingy, that we're in round two and we've got more ruck problems than Rolf Harris.
Does Patrick Dangerfield need to spend more time in the midfield? So just to give you some numbers, Benny, he had 18 possessions. I know numbers aren't everything, but alongside...
He didn't have much of an impact.
Alongside Atkins and Blitzarves, he actually had 6 clearances.
Yeah.
Geelong had 37 clearances, 3 players had half of them.
My immediate reaction to that is yes, but I just think it's game dependent. I think they left him up forward too long on Saturday night. The game was going completely against them. Mm.
Like they left him too long when the things were going against him against Freo in the third quarter.
Yeah, they ended up putting him basically in. It took till the end of the third quarter. Correct. And then in the last quarter when he went into the middle. I think that they've got to read the room a bit better and realise that, Cats were struggling early on Saturday night. Get him in there when the game's against you. Don't wait till it's sort of well, completely gone's not the right phrase because they nearly got back. But when it's absolute panic stations and you're 6 to 7 goals behind, don't wait till that point. So I don't think they read the room very well, that it was, you know, poor coaching to wait that long. Can he play for as long? If you're enjoying some momentum, yep, by all means, just stick him forward. If you've got the run of play, it's probably up to him to decide that a little bit, I think. The only problem is, I mean, we heard Zach Tuohy say now, he always has been a burst player, but his burst is less and less.
Yep.
So if you play him forward and you're getting a bit of the ball there and he gets a bit of respite when it goes out of the forward line, he's able to burst back onto the ball when it comes back in.
Correct.
You can't play him as a permanent midfielder.
Because the repeat efforts aren't there.
He doesn't have the capabilities to do that anymore. You have to manage his minutes, which means he's got to come from the ground for periods of time. If you leave him up forward, he can stay out on the ground longer. But then that if there's a passage of play where it's in the forward line a lot, he's not going to then go into the midfield and be a burst play. He can't do it. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a balance with Patrick Dangerfield, but I think it's about reading the room, reading the flow of the game, him doing that a little bit. But I'd agree. On Saturday night, I'd love to see him start in the middle.
Yep.
And give us some impetus early in the game. And then if you're on top, by all means, then put him forward for 7 or 8 minutes and see if he can't snaffle your goal or set one up.
It's only got to be a 5 to 8 minute burst at the start
just to
get the game on terms.
Yeah, whereas we're on our heels. The Cats are on their heels right from the get-go against St Kilda.
Yep.
And by the time, I mean, I don't know what his exact minutes were, but I reckon he would have played very few minutes in the midfield in the first half.
Yep.
The ball just never got down to him. So it was too late to react, and they paid the price.
If Charlie Cameron plays, who does he cop?
Cool. If he cops O'Sheen Mullen, he'll do what Gary Ablett used to do when he used to pencil in Richmond and Scott Turner.
Well, the conditions, though.
Right, yeah, possibly. But his 3 goals instead of 6 will be still winning the game. Is he good enough, Mullen? The jury is way out. He's not playing well. He's getting goals kicked on him.
You would rather Duncan this week.
If it's wet, yeah, I don't want Duncan on Cameron, though.
No, but I'm talking about into the side.
Possibly.
Close he goes into the 22, maybe Duncan just becomes your sub.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. I don't know if I want Mitch Duncan all day in a wet weather game. No. I'd rather have Close, who's tough and tight. You know, he's not the most skillful player, but in the wet, he's probably very effective.
Conditions are going
to
suit.
I'd like to see Jai Clark in the wet. I'd like to see, I mean, what's Tanner Bruin not back? Finger problems. No. He would have been handy in the wet. I don't know. I'd like to see, but I don't know if you want Mitch Duncan at 30, how old? 33. I don't know if you want him if it's going to be monsoonal. They're not his conditions, the old monsoons. He likes it. He liked the old days of sort of penetrometer at 5.4 and the track good. not a heavy 10 and the going stick at about 5. Have you had your going stick at 5, Kiggy?
Benny?
Yeah.
Move on. Just on Mitch Duncan, I've put on the X for KFC.
On Triple X, yeah.
On Triple X. It's amazing how things slip away. With Hawkins retiring last year, he's the last player on the list that Mark Thompson coached.
Right, the only player.
The only player left.
Do you think Bomber still text him?
Don't know. Probably not.
Possibly not.
But I think Geelong have only played, since Scott arrived at the club in 2011, I think Geelong have only played 3 or 4 games without somebody that Bomber coached. So obviously Hawkins and Duncan took up a lot of that over the last couple of years. But, you know, Duncan missed 1 or 2 late last year, missed the first couple this year. It's amazing, the passage of time that takes place. And, yeah, Mitch is that last connection to the Bomber era.
And he may not see out the year. What's the over and under of him seeing out the year?
Oh, I think he sees out the year.
Do you reckon he plays the whole year?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because they'll get him to 300, but the 4 games, I suspect, won't come. Bang, 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 they'll be spread out.
See.
He'll get to 300.
I reckon he'll retire before the year's out.
Do you?
Yep.
What, play the 300 and retire?
That'd be my pick.
Okay. We'll wait and see what happens. But if that was going to happen, they'd want him to do that before the mid-season draft.
Well, you're saying that he won't get to 300 before mid-season.
No, I don't think he will.
Jeez. Okay, well, they're carrying someone on the list that they don't really want to play, but they're just hoping they get him enough games.
But are they really carrying him? Like, they know that he can come in and play a role if needed. There's blokes like that on everybody's list.
Not at that age.
Oh, I reckon if you have a look. God, old mate Campbell keeps getting...
We've got enough experience is my point, though. I mean, you've got guys like, you know, who are not playing, like Stanley, Buse,
Yeah, Buse is injured.
Yeah, I know he's injured, but he's still around the club. I mean, you've got plenty of experience in that team. I can understand it in a younger team. I don't fully understand it in the Cats team at the moment. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Well, do you reckon they might try and bang out the four games, get him to 300, and thanks for your service?
Oh, I don't know what they'll do, Kingy. Look, he's obviously a good influence around the club, and you know, hopefully he's doing a little bit of coaching and mentoring of younger players. Let's hope that's happening. But you know, it's going to be. We've spoken about it before. It's a watch this space. I can't really understand the reasons behind it.
Yep.
But just back on Mullen, would you leave Mullen in the team for this week?
No.
No, I wouldn't.
I would send him
couldn't.
Back.
He's played his way out of the team.
I'd send him back to the VFL and go back and find some confidence. Well, yeah. You're going to find confidence. They're playing the Northern Bullants this week, so they could actually put a GFL team in against the Northern Bullants this week. Well, it'll be close too. I reckon Geelong, so there's about 14 on the injury list. They'll take probably 25 to... They could roll out with only half a dozen AFL-listed players on Saturday, right. The Cats.
So that means some of those Joey's boys will be getting a game again.
Paddy DeGrandy will probably get to do his couple of goals. Well, they're not playing this week, GFL.
Will they be able to play Newtown the following week?
If they're not required by Geelong.
No, but they'll probably be required by the Cats.
Yeah, the following week, the Cats are... Actually, the Cats are... curtain raiser next week in the VFL.
Are they?
Yeah, Casey ahead of playing Melbourne.
We love a curtain raiser.
Yeah, we do. And then the Joey's boys roll up against Newtown, Stevie J's Newtown on the Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be.
There'll be a cracking crowd at that game.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be there, King. I'll be one of them. So.
And you won't have anything to do, so I'm sure the Great Northerns will be getting a workout.
I might even switch over to the old Supers, Kingy. And really just let the hair down.
You know what happens when
I let down on Sunday.
Did you?
For the triathlon.
Oh, yeah, you were watching people.
I wasn't doing it.
No, you're watching people.
Yeah, well, I was, yeah. And in the end, I couldn't see 3 feet in front of me by about 8 o'clock.
Can you behave in Brisbane?
Yeah, possibly.
At least we're on a late flight home.
Yeah, I'm doctor's orders. He's like taking no notice of these wires, doctor's orders from my old Caddyshack. Mullen, I'm happy. Yeah, great story, all that, but he's got to go. Simple as that. He's been horrible.
So Duncan sub, Mullen out, close the end of the
22. Yeah, I'm not convinced about Duncan being the sub, but
if Smith comes in, somebody's got to go out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Mullen. Mullen goes out for Smith.
What about Bowes?
Look, Jack Bowes is hanging on by a thread. The wet weather might help him. Mm-hmm. He's not quick. If you're bringing Duncan in, if that's what if you're thinking that could happen, I'd much rather have Jack Bowes playing for the whole game and Duncan the sub rather than the other way around.
Yep.
I think the wet weather might help Bowes, possibly, because he's a reasonably sure-handed player. He's pretty dour. He could get around the ball a bit, or the ball gets around him because it doesn't move away that quickly. It'll make it easier for him to transition from contest to contest. So I'd be happy to keep Bowes in, hoping that he can find some form. I think Mullen has to go, and I'd be very hesitant to play Mitch Duncan on a very heavy deck.
Okay. Questions?
Kingy, I absolutely love questions.
KFCX, the Hoops Crew. Will Jezza reach the 800-goal milestone by the end of his career? He's on 653 and he's signed until the end of 2027, Ben. I think he'll play one more after that.
Was it 147 more goals?
Yep.
So he'd need to kick 50 goals a year for the next 3 years.
Yep.
Will he get to 800 snags?
Turns 32 next week.
So hang on. So he's got two more years on top of this year.
He does.
So he needs 50 this year and then the next 2 years, 50. Geez, I reckon they're going to need a develop print.
Yep.
He'll get up on the Kodak sprint lane and he'll get past Westburn Grant, but I don't know if he'll get past Hondo Grattan.
Arngold.
And he'll get past, harness racing does, Kingy. It's not everyone's cup of tea, harness racing. They have the best names for horses.
Yeah, they do.
Smoking Up.
Yep.
He's an absolute beauty. Yeah. An absolute beauty.
Part owned by Snoop Dogg. And Cheech and Chong.
Cheech. Old Cheech and Chong. Oh, yeah. Up in Smoke, Cheech and Chong is an all-time classic.
Arngold, it's round two. They play Marvel well. The Cats don't seem to. Midfielder concerned with a fair few missing. Do you gentlemen think Cam Guthrie will play again?
Oh, we don't know. I mean, have you seen him training, Kingy?
He was sitting in the stands when I was...
Today?
Watching training.
Sitting in the stands?
He was sitting in the stands.
He wasn't even out there.
He wasn't out there.
Walking or doing anything. No, that's not, that's generally not a great sign. No, unless he's doing other shit. But
yeah, he'd be doing stuff in on the Alta G or something like that. But the thing is, the cat
on the Arley G. You ever been on the Arley G?
In the house.
Yeah, Arley G. He had a mate, Dave Arley G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen...
He taught his pet lizard to smoke joints and then fly down the shops for him.
Oh, dear. Have you ever seen Arley G
Arley G and the Punani.
Doing the comic relief with David Beckham and Victoria Beckham?
Yeah. He got caught offside. Have you ever been caught offside? He asked him.
It was very, very funny.
It's hysterical. Yes. She gets it. He's as dumb. He's as thick as two short plates.
She fully got into it. Yeah. Teddy G, how is it we can find
time? When he did ask her, he said to her, have you ever been caught offside? That was very funny. She got it straight away. He didn't know what was going on.
Teddy G, how is it we can find time and space on the narrow GMHBA but continually be pressured at Marvel? And in what universe is Jezza a wingman? Well, the universe in which Jezza is a wingman is when he can't find the footy inside 50.
Yeah.
He actually played okay when he came up the ground. Took a couple of marks, got involved in the contest.
Yeah.
But he is a
fool. Teams are happy for Jeremy Cameron to be marking the ball in halfback all day. Every day. He's had, I'd say it's been an inauspicious start from Jeremy Cameron. I know he kicked four in the opener.
Three of those were in junk time.
Yeah, I probably could have kicked one there. He's been average at best. And, yeah, I don't like it when he comes up the Grand King persistently. I can understand it at certain times to try and alleviate the pressure, maybe take a mark, slow the game down. I can understand that. But he was spending a lot of time up the ground and he's wheeling and kicking it to, well, you'd hope Neil comes up, but I've said this before, he doesn't have great awareness, Jeremy Cameron, around the ground.
No.
When he's up the ground. Forward line's fine, he's used to that. That's his safe haven up forward. When he gets up forward to centre, particularly in defence, you hold your breath sometimes because he doesn't really know what's around him. And the fact that he's had to spend so much time up down the ground suggests how bad the Cats were going.
Mick Howley, Manners 15 touches in the VFL, enough to get him on the plane to Queensland this week. Did the Loch Ness sign his contract from the comfort of his bed? Chris Scott today said Sean Manners will play one more in the VFL. Expects him to play against Melbourne.
Bit disappointing that. I mean, he would have been an ideal player, I think, in wet weather.
Yep.
The way he plays would have... But look, he probably... just for his preparation, you'd think another one. I mean, we saw... Even last week, you watched Charlie Curnow run around. My God, did he look miles off it?
Yep.
You just don't want to rush a player in. He's only a second-year player, man. I know he's not, you know, he's not 21, but it's disappointing because I reckon he would have been ideal in wet conditions.
Paul Marinelli, let's hope no one else signs for the rest of the year. Pen to paper curse.
Oh. It was good that they've locked everyone up, though, Kingy, and they've got Conway for another couple. Mm. They've done a good job. Really good job, the Cats. The one that now is Grian Myers, I believe they've opened contract talks.
And he's out of contract next year.
So they're trying to get him locked away before he even, what do they call it, pre-agency? Pre-agency.
Not even the NFL's come up with that, have they?
Probably not.
No.
No, they're all on about 700 million.
Yep. Trent Woodall, danger isn't a forward. Terrible set shot and sometimes gets in the way. The second Scott put him in the midfield, Cat started to find momentum through clearances. Would it be better to play him mid and rest more on the bench during the game rather than forward?
I've mentioned that. Yeah, I think it's flow of the game.
I think he makes opposition defences a bit nervous too.
He does, but I do agree that he doesn't play to any structure. And you've got Jeremy Cameron already doing that. I don't know if you can have two blokes doing that. But, I do agree. Like I said, it's the flow of the game. It depends how the game's going. But, burst in the midfield, probably has to spend more time off. Yeah. And then, you could throw him forward just for a little bit of a pinch hit in case he does make, you get a quick clearance. And that's when he can be most dangerous, when it's open and he can, he can use his body, use his strength and get involved. But he's had... It hasn't been a great start. He and Cameron haven't really set the world on fire.
Premiers, King and Cass, who can play as a locked on small defender? Atkins, or can we get Bowes and maybe Closey to do the job?
No.
It's a concern going forward. Also, can someone clarify what position Mark O'Connor plays for me? I only get to see the game on the TV and it's confusing.
Yeah, well, that's been my point for quite some time, Kingy. I don't know what position he plays. That's why I think he's expendable. But they've re-signed him as well, didn't they, for another 2 years?
Yeah, into next year.
Yeah. I just don't know what position he plays. Look, I'd be giving I think if he's going to play any position, it'd be in defence. He could maybe have a crack at the Mullen role.
Yep.
He's got the body. He's not super agile. That's probably the problem. He's probably all right in a straight line, just not side to side, which is what Charlie Cameron's really good at. But I'd probably give him a crack to take over from Mullen, and that or tagging. I think that's the. I mean, do you send him to Lachie Neale?
Potentially, yep. Yeah, actually, that's probably not a bad shout.
Maybe. Geelong don't like to tag because they like to back their process and structure. It was good on Saturday night when Zach Jones and McRae and Battle and Marshall and who was the other one? There's one other midfielder there kept getting 8 million times. Who else is the top of the list there?
Steele had 22.
Yeah, he wasn't fruitful. It was McRae, Zach Jones, Marshall.
Windhager had it 25
times. Yeah, that's it. The Windhager.
Yep. And how good a footballer is Wanganeen Miller?
Yeah, well,
he's a superstar.
He's good, yeah. But Geelong made Zach Jones, who's half a spud, isn't he?
Yeah. Mason Wood had 26 disposals.
Yeah, he's been pretty good for the Saints.
Where does that sit in his career high? I reckon that's actually, it's fourth best of his career, that 26 for Mason Wood, possessions-wise.
Yeah, he's actually been a good pickup for them. But, look, they just had way too much space, way too much time, no pressure, and they took advantage. And that's what happens at that level if you allow sides, even sides you would consider to be inferior. If you don't pressure them, they'll do what St Kilda did to the Cats in the first half.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
What is it with us and the Saints at Marvel? Good to see a fight back, although he shouldn't have got to that. Good to see the younger player step up. Good to see Connor get the rising star.
Yeah, he did. That was good. He did, took a couple of nice marks. He was pretty good.
He'll play more than we thought, I reckon, now.
Possibly.
Yeah. He'll get that 15 games comfortably for the year.
15 games this year?
Yep.
You reckon 15 comfortably?
You'll get there comfortably.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a big call. Yep. Can you bet on that?
Probably not.
I don't know. I'm not sure about 15.
Nuffy.
So what happens when Jake Colajasny comes back?
Well, you're not playing.
I know he took a few good marks.
Just back on Jake Colajasny, that was a 1-3 weeker. Week 3 is this week. He's still at least a couple away.
So you're saying that the coach was telling Porkies?
No, it wasn't the coach. That's the injury list that was put out.
Right.
So that's gone back. He's going to be a bit longer.
But the coach said he was in the lead up to round one that he'd be wondering why he wasn't playing. It was very minor.
Yeah.
And you're saying he's going to be out for at least 4 or 5 weeks?
Well, probably now, yeah. We won't see him till round six.
It's getting later all the time.
Maybe Easter
Monday. Will he be back before next year?
Well, if he's to miss another couple, that will take you. Yeah, I'd be shocked if we see him before Easter Monday.
Well, interesting to see what happens with O'Sullivan. But look, he did some good things. He still can look susceptible at times, which you're going to when you only played three games.
Yeah. Nuffy.
Oh, Nuff. Is this Nuff from Corio? Right.
Hidden Nuff, he's been good this week. Because last week he asked some stuff that I couldn't put on air. Loved how the kids stood up last week. Senior players needed to be better than first half. Midfield concerning. Bose, Atkins and De Koning get burnt on the spread and it was evident at Marvel. P.S. Neville Bruns is a shoo-in for number 19. What numbers are we doing today?
4.
Yep.
Is it 4? 4, 14 and was it
28?
Was it 28?
Yep. Right, we'll get to those shortly. And Chris Quinert, a disappointing loss. However, it's good to see the one standing up of the young guys. Jack Henry surely is a top 5 defender in the AFL. Mullen must have some dirt on Scott to keep getting a game. Mm. Needs to develop in the twos. He's just not at the level yet.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that, to be honest with you. Mm. I mean, yeah, he needs to develop in the twos. His development is starting to hurt the team in the ones. I mean, he didn't have a kick, literally. Not one kick. So he's got speed. So you want to, if the players with speed, I know if he's playing in defence, his number one job is to defend, but you want the players with speed actually getting the ball in hand to create something for your team. Not, he actually didn't kick it at all.
From the big footy, Khan Catters, well, that sucked. I don't have a thing against Mullen, but the argument of playing him so he learns the game against our model of players biding their time in the VFL. Zuthri spent years there learning his craft. Surely he needs to serve his apprenticeship there too. Not on the AFL's best smalls, getting bags kicked on him. 0 kicks Saturday, 4 goals to Higgins. He's not helping him or the team. We are missing Busey.
Yeah, who was that written and authorised by?
That was written Khan Catters.
Yeah, Khan the Catters is 100% correct.
Cats 09, this probably isn't the place to necessarily reply, but Mullen wasn't really opposed to Higgins on Saturday night. Mullen's main matchup was Brad Hill with the likes of Henry and Guthrie on Higgins at various times when he kicked goals.
Yeah, look, it's hard to know those exact matchups with, you know, there's very few one-to-one matchups that last, you know, longer than 5-6 minutes in the AFL. They tend to swap over all over the place. So I don't doubt that he wasn't on Higgins all the time. But my point is that he had a few kicked on him the week before. He had plenty kicked on him in the practice game. He's not touching the ball, so he's not offering you anything offensively. So I just think he needs to go back to the twos, as you say, and find a bit of confidence, find a bit of form, get a bit of the ball, and continue. I hope that, though, if he does go back to the twos, Kingy, that they play him in a position where they'd hope to be playing him in the seniors.
Yeah.
That's what I – because he needs to learn how to play the game. That's the basics, and he's very raw in that. So I wouldn't want to see him come in and play on the wing and, you know, maybe play all right. Yeah, he'll probably get a few kicks, which is great, gets his confidence up. But then he comes into the senior side, is playing a completely different position. It's not doing him any favours. We saw that last year with Mitch Nevitt. Mm. Got a crack against the Bulldogs. They had him at half back.
Yep.
And he played basically when he was the VFL on the wing or on the ball.
Ball, yep.
And then suddenly playing him in a completely different position, then wonder why he struggled, he's out the next week.
Maddie with 5 T's, people love having someone to blame. Foxdog 50, Kingy, I've heard a whisper that Wangaratta Rovers legend and Ovens and Murray star Ross Hill is on the payroll with Geelong as a list manager. Have you heard this? Yes, he's actually come from the Brisbane Lions and has joined as a recruiter. Talking about people I've spotted at the club, Benny, Scotty Thompson, former North Melbourne defender. Oh, yeah.
From South Bowen.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was actually on the ground during match sim today.
Doing?
Opposed to Jeremy Cameron.
Playing still?
Yeah, well, yeah, just making up numbers in the match sim.
Who's he playing for?
He's not playing at all.
He's not playing at all, but he's playing match sim at the Cats.
Well, there was Shannon Burns does it as well.
They must have got him for, he must be doing something.
Yeah, he's got a role.
He wasn't just driving by and they hailed him down.
Yeah, I don't know what the role is at the club, but it was just interesting to see him out there. He must have a coaching role.
Right.
Or similar. So,
okay.
Yeah, but it was just interesting to see him. I turned to a Cat staffer and I said, "Do you hope Jeremy doesn't bend down to tie up his shoelaces?"
Why would that be?
Well, remember when Scotty Thompson decided to push Barry Hall over?
That's right.
And the Cat staffer said, at least Scotty didn't, you know, he didn't discriminate. He picked on them all whatever size. It wasn't like he was just pushing over Eddie Betts.
No, true. 100% true.
I'm 90% sure Benny will be talking about this before he answers the question. Mullen isn't up to AFL level. I know you have to give players games to make them better, but I'd like to see him play good in the VFL, good footy in the VFL, continue playing good rather than keep playing at AFL level.
Yep.
Yes, it's only round 2, but are there any whispers on any big names we're trying to recruit to become the latest farmers in Geelong with Stanley and Jeremy Cameron? Harley Reid is on Geelong's radar.
You reckon?
He is.
He'll be on everyone's radar.
He's on everybody's radar. Well,
what's the realistic radar?
I think Geelong...
There's the radar that they had on the SS Minnow, and there's a radar they have on the HMAS.
I wouldn't be shocked if Geelong have lodged an interest.
How do you lodge an interest?
Well, I suspect you'd probably pick up the phone, ring the manager and...
Say, look, would he like to come to the Cats?
Yeah.
And then he says, yeah, but he wants $2 million a year. And then you say, right, well...
3 blocks of land.
Yes.
A Rex Gorrell Ford.
Something, some sort of apparel from somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I'm sure that you'd be negligent. You'd be doing your members a disservice if you're not
correct.
At least making the phone call. But whether or not, geez, there'd be a lot of water to pass under the bridge there, and he'd be foregoing an enormous amount of money not to come to the Cats, which Patrick Dangerfield did.
Mm.
I think he was in the vicinity of about $400,000.
Mm.
Collingwood are offering him about $1.2 million. And the Cats were offering him about $800,000, so they got a hometown discount, the Cats. But the hometown discount would be enormous for Harley Reid, enormous.
Dudas Maximus.
Dudas.
Playing devil's the advocate here, the Cats' extra caution with injuries. Over the past few years, it has been, pardon the pun, worth the pain. An extra week here and an extra week could soon end up to be season-defining. It doesn't inoculate us from the accidents on field or at training either. Oh, a lot of big words there.
Very big word, inoculate. You'd win Scrabble if you dropped down inoculate. More than eight letters, though, wouldn't it?
Howl of 41. Well, we filled the bath up the previous week versus Freo and drank all the bath water versus the Saints.
Yep.
Couldn't find our groove, made a large charge, but couldn't get it done. Kicked straight up, made a pinched it. Positives, Closey, Clark, O'Sullivan, Humphreys and Nevitt. Yep. Unfortunately, Bailey Smith out the midfield looked pedestrian against the Saints, who grow a third leg at Marvel. Doesn't look like we lack small defenders. Guthrie could take Charlie Cameron, but we'd be losing his offensive drive, which we needed should Stewart not get up. Some concerns, but hopefully can regroup quickly.
Yeah, I don't mind Guthrie. I don't mind that suggestion, Guthrie on Charlie Cameron, particularly if it's wet. So I think he's capable.
Yep.
You would like to see him rebound, but I think the other side of the coin is that Zach Guthrie is probably smart enough. I've said this before. If he concedes a goal or two you sort of wear it. But if he's creating for you going the other way, you think, well, and Zach Guthrie's probably smart enough to get a bit of a balance going where he knows when to attack. Charlie Cameron, possibly not the most defensive forward.
No.
So you perhaps get off him the other way if you've got somebody who can do that. Whereas a Mullen, his sole role is just to try and shut him down. If that's not working, he has absolutely nothing else to call on. Yep. So it's. I agree that I don't think that's a bad call. And even O'Connor is capable of getting involved in the game a little bit. I know he's not a dashing sort of halfback, but I just think that Mullen, you'd be wasting a spot putting Mullen on Cameron because if he doesn't stop him, he's cooked.
Cartsy28, g'day lads. I'm not an O'Connor basher. However, surely would much rather see the 22 kicking the ball into the forward half than the Irishman. If he has a role, i.e. a hard tag or lockdown defender, I'm okay with it, but he can't be our rebound off halfback option. The Saints showed that you need your best kicks coming from the back half.
Yeah, you don't want him with the ball in his hand too often. He tends to kick it quite short anyway, and he likes to go sideways. And you want Zach Guthrie, you want Stewart. Who else do you want, Kingy, bursting out of halfback? Lawson Humphries is the other one. Jeez, he was good. He played well. I thought he was Cat's best player. Yeah. He was there, one of the few that played four quarters.
He'd be leading the Kaji after two rounds.
Yeah, I reckon you might be right. Yeah. He was really good. He's unfortunately slipped over in the middle.
Yeah.
When the game was sort of in the... Geelong had the momentum.
That was in the third quarter. Yep.
They had a bit of momentum going and he slipped when he was about to mark the ball. It went the other way. I reckon he could have got a goal. Yeah. That was crucial. Through no fault of his own, but he won a brilliant one-on-one. Was it against Hill? Out on the other side, on the forward flank. It was just the two of them with no other player within about 30 metres. And he absolutely point-blank, I think it was Hill, he point-blank pulled his pants down.
Yeah. He's only playing 14 games.
Yeah.
Daz Broncos, finally we got to unleash the Ted, and how good was it? I've been pushing his case for a while. Glad to be able to see him show his wares.
Yeah, it was good.
He should be on the plane this week and even a full start for him.
Absolutely.
Although a damn good option to come in fresh and have a strong burst.
I think wet weather, I think he'd he's good to go in that sort of conditions. I'd be playing him.
Most impressive was he didn't just have an influence when it was going our way. Rather, we were down and he worked his way into it and showed he could cut it when the tide was against us. In my opinion, that's impressive. Intensity. He's no issue for him. He brings 100% all the time. See what I did there. LOL. Don't laugh at your own jokes, Daz. He's a goal-kicking version of Atkins and should be persevered with.
Well, did the coach in his press conference say nothing to do with intensity? Apparently.
All right.
So he said it's nothing to do with intensity.
What, the Cats?
Yeah, the Cats' performance.
Right.
Which I reckon it is everything to do with that, and he knows that. Yeah. But he's just trying to deflect. Because if you look at, I don't know what the, I'd have to have a look, Kingy, but the tackle numbers in the last quarter compared to the first two quarters were through the roof. Mm-hmm. And that's when Geelong were applying pressure. I mean, would you agree that part of pressure, it's not the whole part, but part of pressure is tackle pressure?
Yep.
That's a big part of it. There are other things that make up pressure, but tackle pressure is a key element to it. And it was non-existent for the Cats in the first half of footy. I mean, I think, I'd have to remember, but I think the Saints had about 80 more, I don't know if it was total disposals or effective disposals in the first half than the Cats. 80. They doubled their uncontested possession.
Yeah,
to me, that's a bit of work rate.
That's
intensity. That's a mental, it's a concentration thing. And for the coach to suggest it was nothing to do with intensity, I'm not sure about that.
Time for Hydro's Heroes, Benny.
Oh, Hydro's Heroes, Kingy. We love a bit of Hydro's Heroes.
Have you got who we've already previously picked?
No, we don't. We went Wayne Kloster.
Number one.
Yes, we went Tom Harley.
Number two.
We went Jimmy Bartel.
Number three.
And then we have to go down further. We went Patrick Dangerfield.
In the 35.
Hydro was, would have been going Paul Chapman there. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't much in that.
No.
We went Bruce Nankervis.
In the 33.
And what was the other number we had, Kingy? We went 27, didn't we? We did.
And we went Sando?
We went...
Or Matty Stokes?
No, we went Brenton's... Oh, we went Andrew Buse, didn't we?
Oh, we did. We went the Rat.
Yeah,
we did. We
went the Rat. All so right. We're going with four.
So four.
14. Well, one of these is an absolute no-brainer.
Well, I think the four's a no-brainer too.
The four, Phil Stevens.
Phil Stevens.
Andrew Wills.
Yeah, Phil Stevens only just sneaks in because his last year of his career was 1975.
Right.
Andrew Wills, yes. Although, did he wear four in enough games? Because he actually...
He started in about 40-something,
didn't he? Started in 45.
Yeah.
And he actually played... He doesn't qualify. So, of his 59 games for Geelong, I think 16 were played in the 45.
Right.
So he was
my next door neighbour.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So I grew up with Wilsey, and
Paul, his brother.
Paul, lovely, loves his height and cricket club.
He
Paul
does.
Can feast on the odd can.
Yeah, does like a brown bubble.
He does one. Absolutely. He does.
He does. The other one is,
and he used to get me. Do you know what he used to do?
What did
Paul?
He do?
He'd get me to go. We'd go to the supermarket, and he was a bit older than Andrew and I, Paul. Mm. And we were only little, and so he'd say to me, like, "We'd go and play. I'll go and play down at their house." And he'd say, "When you go to the supermarket, you've got to say this, right?" And I didn't know. So when I'd go to the supermarket, I would start bleeding out expletives with Mum when she was trying to get the arrowroot biscuits off the shelf.
Oh, that would have gone down a treat.
It didn't go down a treat at all. So the B and F went. I was the bloody. Mum, and my mum's a churchgoer. We had the 8 items or less, and we were in the car.
Did you cop an absolute Roderick when you got home?
The
old Roderick to Hayden.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was. It wasn't ideal, but that was poor Will's just trying to wind up young fellas.
Oh, wow. Jason Snell would have been some sort of player.
Yeah, he was a very good player.
Until he broke that ankle.
He played really well, I reckon, kicking in that final in 97 when they lost to Adelaide. Jason Snell.
Yeah, it was only his 13th game.
Yeah, he was going to be one of those underrated players that just bobbed up, and he was building nicely into his career. And that ankle injury he had was absolutely horrendous. He did try to come back, but he was never the same. The other one there, obviously, King is Terry Bright, who we used to call the Mars Bar Man. I've said this before on the Coda Tech podcast.
Because
when back in the day, they used to have the Mars Bars, and you used to give you 10% extra. Well, we thought he was only ever giving us 10% because he never really looked like he was trying, did he?
He was the Mark War equivalent of an AFL footballer.
Terry Fright was the other one. He used to get out of the way a bit.
So Terry's worked a long time at Avalon
in
a very important role out there. I think he's retiring. He's actually done.
He's
this
at the
week.
Coffee machine.
Yeah, he's done. So
the other one there is Aaron Lord.
It still doesn't qualify because he played most of his games at Geelong in 24.
And I've told this story too on the podcast. Can you have an eye about Lavinia?
Yes,
he went out with Lavinia.
He did.
And do you know what happened?
I have no idea, Benny.
So he broke up with Lavinia.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, Kingy. I know you always get a chuckle out of it. That he was distraught that he'd been given the coke and sars by the lovely Lavinia, and she obviously moved on and does the weather and yada yada. But he had to leave footy club for a little bit, Kingy, and he went to Queensland.
Yeah,
and he came back not long after that, refreshed. And do you know what happened in Queensland?
I don't want to know, Benny. No, don't worry.
He met somebody that he met two people actually that helped soothe him, which was nice. So. Have you ever been soothed by two?
Benny, I need to move on.
Right.
Andrew Mackey, I think, is the lot.
Yeah, look, I remember when Andrew Mackey was selected pick 7 from Glenelg, and I think there were people looking down at their draft boards thinking, oh, that's Andrew Mackey.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a bit of a flyer.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a really good flyer. What, he played 276? He was much taller than you thought, never did a weight. I think he's 192, Mackie.
Played 280, Andrew Mackie.
280, was it?
And he was 193. He was actually 193 and 82 kegs.
Yeah, he was an absolute string bean. But he copped a few heavy knocks, Mackie, and was able to get up. He was a good mark. He was agile for his size. He was versatile.
He was a good decision maker.
Yeah, he had everything going for him. He could play on talls. He could play on smalls. He was a good kick. He ran well. He wasn't explosively quick, but he was fast enough, and he had a good tank. He basically had every base covered, and no surprise that he's one of those funny guys too, Kingy, that for his body shape, you would have thought he would be prone to breaking down or breaking things. He was quite durable.
Yep.
Very durable, and went out with his mate Tom Lonergan on the same night. So they came in together and went out together, which was fitting.
The prelim in 2017. The 14, Benny, is a lay-down Mazaire.
Yeah, Cam Thurley. We'll get that easily.
Didn't play over Darren Flanagan. Only played 7 games.
Cam Thurley?
Yep.
They were very good 7 games. He was
actually kicked 12 goals in those 7 games.
Yeah, he kicked. He played in that game when they beat the Saints. They came back early, back in, was it 05?
It was 05.
When they came back from miles down behind the Saints at Marvel.
And he kicked 2.
He did, the little meatball.
And then he kicked 4 the following week against Carlton.
And then he only played 12 games.
And he only played.
How's that happened?
He had 12 games from 12 goals from 7 appearances in 05, and he went to the Kangaroos.
Do you know who else? Who else? I know it's going to go to Joel Selwood, which is obviously obvious. But you know who else wore the 14? Who was a very, very, very good player? Was David Clark?
David Clark was a star.
Yeah, he was an absolute gun, half forward, left footer.
Multiple best and fairest.
Great skill, which unfortunately didn't pass down to his son. No. He couldn't hit the side of a barn. But he was an elusive half forward, David Clark. How many goals did David Clark kick, Kingy?
David Clark kicked in his career 298
from
202 games.
And how many with the Cats?
No, that's his Geelong
career. That was his Geelong career.
Yep,
he was. That's good going.
Yeah,
he was a very smooth player, David Clark. And the other one there, obviously the two ruckmen. Darren Flanagan, big Durr, could eat some cans, Durr. He played a cracking game in the 89 granny.
Because Berkey got injured early.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. Valley Inn.
He had the Valley Inn. Big Durr.
Yep.
And he ended up working, involved with under 18 footy.
He was in footy for a long
time. In Melbourne. And the other one who used to, Kingy, look, he was...
Chopper.
Stephen Hanley was unfortunately not much good. In the 95 grand final, when he got outmarked by Greg Williams, who was 4 foot two, they stood toe to toe, just those two, and he clean outmarked him. And I thought, it's time to go. I can't watch any more of this. Chopper was unfortunately not up to it. He was the start of our ruck woes, and we're still having them now, Kingy.
28.
28.
I'll say the 14's going to be Joel Selwood.
Yeah, the 14's Joel Selwood, and he was. I mean, look, we've waxed lyrical about that. Was an unbelievable career for. He's just did wonders for the Cats, and you couldn't have gone out in any better fashion. I don't think there was any Cat fan that was not had a tear in their eye, Kingy, when he kicked that goal and then went out as a premiership captain. Given how many times they tried and missed and been pizzled on, and you know, he looked like it was getting further and further away, and then suddenly he exits the game. In the fashion that he did, so it was absolutely fantastic. 28, Kingy. So we've got some beauties here.
Tim Darcy. Yep.
Yes. Hang on. I was just going to go back to. Sorry. I was reading the wrong column, Kingy. No. Yeah, Tim Darcy was an undersized key defender who played for the Bombers. He was handy. Tim Darcy.
More than handy. Played in the 89 grand final.
He did.
Did he play in the 92 or did he miss?
Good
92?
Mates with the Prez. Bruce Lindner.
You're good mates with the Prez.
Very good mates with the Prez.
He played in the 92 grand final.
Yeah, he did too.
Yeah, but didn't play in the 94 one.
No, he was out the door, I reckon, after
the
92.
And then he went to the Bombers for a year.
He did?
Yep.
Was it only 1 year?
1 year, yep.
Alan Christensen?
Could have been anything.
Yeah, he was a good player. He was involved in that iconic passage of play in the 0-11 grand final.
He took that mark.
He took that mark between two pies.
Yeah.
And then I reckon he quickly moved the ball on. Geelong got a goal, and that's when we were starting to pull our pants down, Kingy, because we were just starting to get a little bit ahead of ourselves that the Cats were home. How many games did Alan Christensen end up playing for the Cats before he left for Brisbane?
Cats, he played 65.
Had a few problems off the field, unfortunately, Alan Christensen, which ended his career at the Cats.
Yeah, 56 goals.
Yeah, he was an elite, very good clearance player.
He was,
very good round clearances at negotiating his way through traffic and then spotting someone up. That was his go, and he was very adept at it. The other one too, Kingy, there's a couple here. Hugh Strawn.
Yeah, but that was before.
How many games did Hugh play?
Hughie Strawn played 88.
Right.
But he was done by 75. He actually went and had a very good, I think he coached Newtown to.
How do you know this, Kingy?
What's that?
That all these people we bring up, that you know what's happened to them post their job.
Hughie Strawn actually got inducted into the Newtown Chilwell Hall of Fame.
Oh, did he?
On Saturday night.
Kane Ackland in that?
No, he's not in that. But I'm pretty sure Hughie Strawn was coach of their 78 premiership team, right. Which was the last GDFL premiership before the GFL formed the following year.
Right.
Yeah, so you know, Hughie Strawn had a very good local connection.
Did Darren Troy coach Newtown?
Darren Troy did coach Newtown. I reckon he might have coached them before Steve Hocking coached them.
Muddy?
Muddy Troy.
Yeah.
Yep, still revered. He lives. Muddy Troy lives up on...
Yeah, he lives up north.
Yeah, like Lake Boga.
So the guy I work with, his mother is Darren Troy's sister.
Right.
So I only found this out a few days ago.
Yeah, right.
So, and supposedly North Warrnambool was supposed to be playing Newtown in a practice match and they didn't show up.
They knew they weren't coming. And so I went to have a look.
Yeah.
And Newtown ended up playing the old-fashioned probables versus possibles.
Right.
The probables in the club jumper, the possibles with the jumpers inside out.
Were there any possibles to be disillusioned that they were possibles?
Yeah, there's a couple there, I reckon. Yeah, yeah. Right. And there's some probables that probably very lucky to be probable.
The other one we got Kingy in 28.
Yep.
And he was hopeless, unfortunately. Marty McKinnon.
Oh, that's harsh.
He was no good.
That's harsh.
He couldn't kick.
Came from, he played Adelaide. Adelaide.
Yeah, he played the Crows.
But he played Brisbane too, didn't he?
Did he
come from Geelong?
No, I thought he played just Adelaide. I don't remember, he went to Brisbane
after Geelong.
God.
He played seven games at the Lions. So 25 games at the Crows, came to the Cats, played all 24 games in 1997. He actually kicked 23. He had 48 shots at goal in 1997. He kicked 23-25.
Yeah, he was a poor kick.
He was a left footer.
Yeah, he broke the mold of the left footers in that he couldn't hit the side of a bus, unfortunately, most of the time. But
Andy Preston,
socks down Andy.
Yep.
He was. I was only young when he was playing, but from memory, was he just your old fashioned sort of tough as a 2 buck steak midfielder?
Yeah.
Socks down. There was no airs and graces about the way he played. He just sort of bullocked in and had a crack, and whatever transpired. But 28, can you?
It's got to be darst, doesn't it? Just based on.
Alan Christensen on talent, but he never fulfilled the talent with the Cats. McKinnon, no. Andy Preston. How many games did Andy Preston play?
58.
Yeah, that's not enough. Hugh Strawn's
David Johnson's the other one.
David Johnson is the other one. Is he still at the Cats?
No, he hasn't been for a few years.
Oh, right. He was in welfare at the Cats for quite some time.
Yeah, no. He's got a cleaning business now.
Has he?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
He was a good fella, David Johnson.
Great fella.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Easy to talk
genuinely
to.
Genuinely good
Came
bloke.
From Essendon.
79
Brother
games.
Of Mark.
Brother of Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't play any senior games at Essendon.
No, he came to the Cats. And look, he toiled away. But, yeah, you'd have to think Kingy.
Found himself in trouble the week of the grand final, I think he might have enjoyed the VFL premiership celebrations.
He got over-refreshed, which has got the better of many of us, hasn't it, Kingy?
Yeah. You especially.
Yeah, Kingy. A couple of times I got over-refreshed. After Geelong played Freo once, I did.
Just had to be guided home.
Yes, I got into a bit of trouble and... I remember that game. It was round 14, I reckon. The Cats played, because I wasn't doing K-Rock for some reason, the few times I was in the stand.
Right.
And I proceeded to get reasonably Brahms and Liszt in the stand. And then that's when I went up to St. Joey's and they had their disco on.
And that was your mistake.
No, yes, I did. And then I ended up getting arrested and I ended up in the lockup. And this is without a word of lie. And this is, I've just worked thinking there's a time for humour and there's a time for no humour. And I was at the desk being checked in to the facility.
Right.
And the guy said to me, the policeman said to me, and I only found this out later, but there was a policeman who knew me at the back. He wasn't saying anything. He wasn't doing the checking in.
He was
like the concierge. And the older policeman said to me, "Have you got anything to say?" And I just said, "I'm blaming it on the boogie." And there was nothing from the man behind the desk. Just donuts.
Which you made over the back.
No, he wasn't laughing either. I was too blind to see that far, but I only found out later on that he was there.
Right.
So I did. Don't ever drop a gag if you do get if you get arrested.
Well, maybe just don't get arrested. Yeah. Tim Darcy.
Yeah, we'll go Tim Darcy. How many games did he play?
Tim Darcy for the Cats played 176.
Yeah, he was probably height and weight listed?
Yeah, they are. Tim Darcy, 186, so that's 6'1.5", 86 keg.
Amazing, isn't it, that he was the Cats fullback at 186.
But
he'd be 4 centimetres shorter than Tom Stewart.
And he kicked 83 goals.
Yeah, he could. He was a beautiful kick.
Yep.
Good kick, good mark. He was undersized even in that era. He played on blokes that he wasn't quite equipped to play on, but Geelong had nothing else.
Yep.
But could you imagine at 186 now... Busey's 186.
Yeah. Actually, Busey's taller.
I think he's 186. I reckon you said before he's 186.
Yeah, okay.
Gives you an idea of how much the game's changed.
Yeah.
That the Cats fullback in a reasonably successful era was 186 centimetres.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely, Kingy.
Just having a look, Busey, how tall is...
I'll bet 186.
186?
Yeah.
Yep. Very good.
That's good.
We're going to Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Kingy. I didn't realise it was going to be... So I'm going to need some wet weather gear, am I?
Yeah, you are.
And I don't know, how will that suit the Cats? I mean, you've got your Burrowers, you've got your Clark, we've got Closer you'd think could play a bit. Who else have we got? I mean, it's Bailey Smith. He's probably not too bad in the wet.
No, he'd be all right.
They've got some handy ones, though. Zach Bailey, Lachie Neal, Rayner,
Zorko,
McCluggage, Berry.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be tough.
Yeah.
It'll be an upset if they beat them.
It's going to be one of those games where you hope the Cats start. Well, if two or three goals.
Like they did last year in Brisbane.
Yeah.
When we went up there thinking, oh, this might end the run.
Yep.
Stewart got hurt.
Yep.
Let's see if, yeah.
Let's hope they can just start well, put Brisbane on the back foot, and in wet conditions, you're just going to have to make the most of the ball bouncing your way every now and then.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.